you go.
Wonderful station. Just take a lively companion wherever you go. Take a portable radio. Take a portable radio.
Now, here comes the music.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to it. It's the show on our Q-Talk America Network. It's the 25th of September. It's show 360. Hi. How y'all doing out there? Nero and Bridget is in the chat room along with us. Hi, this is Clayton McKee along with Kat Carlson, Doug Wilkie, and that's Al Perkins. Marty Ryer has the night off. We may be hearing from her yet this evening, but we're not really sure yet. We'll maybe find out. Beer may be involved in her trip thus far.
That'd be weird.
Be odd, wouldn't it?
Super weird.
We've decided that on Friday we are going to have a vote, just because other people are going to have a vote on Friday. Also,
what are we voting on?
Whatever the fuck we want, apparently, because...
The Senate, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to confirm or deny. We're not really sure. But,
as long as it's a fair process.
That's all we want. That's all we're looking for, is a fair process.
Too rapey.
And you can't,
that's the rule.
And you can't say it enough so that it doesn't sound staged or rehearsed, you know, all those things.
Just keep saying fair process and people
fair
will believe
process.
In you.
Fair process.
18 times.
Mm-hmm. My gosh, it's been a big, big, busy week and busy day in the news, and it's only Tuesday.
Oh, it's been an awful week in the news.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Awful.
Well, it depends on who, I guess, what side of the you're on.
Well, no, I mean, I guess
not on the side
really,
of Mitch McConnell.
Really good news for rapey white guys.
Yeah.
Really bad news
for black rapey and black rapey white guys or black rapey guys.
That's true.
Funny, it was.
Well, what's that?
Cosby.
Oh yeah.
Rapey black men still on the bottom.
Still on the bottom of the rung there.
Sorry guys.
But now,
thoughts and prayers.
Let me ask you this before we get too far into the show, because I know I feel like I'm going to get ridiculed for this comment, but this is an odd feeling, and maybe you others have this too. I don't remember if you even cared for Cosby at all. Did you like the Cosby show?
The comedian you liked. Yeah, the comedian I liked. I never found the Cosby
and the Fat Albert series, the cartoon series. Did you ever care for that?
I don't really remember it.
Okay, well, it's funny. I remember all of it, but I used to watch it when I was a kid.
I was never a child, though. You got to remember that.
That's right. You were born at 60.
Yeah.
I wasn't either.
Yeah.
Al and I were not watching cartoons.
Barely.
We were reading Stephen King. Yeah.
But one of the things, and I'm sure I'm not alone in the, and it's not a sympathy because I believe the women, and I don't doubt that he did all of the things that he did, but it's one of those odd things that somebody that you... I shouldn't say looked up to, but you admired, again, their comedy.
Yeah.
And you go through all the things of how much you liked him. He was America's dad. I enjoyed the Cosby show with my mom and all these people.
Mine would be Louis C.K.
Okay, same thing.
I loved him.
So
yeah,
then
you
see this person who is at, 81 now? He's legally blind, blah, blah, blah. And you see him getting let out in handcuffs and convicted. And you're almost conflicted with... That's not the man I know.
That's not
the person I know.
So you can imagine how families where someone is accused must feel when you're presented with evidence that their loved one is a horrible person. Like,
right.
How do you wrap your mind around Julie Chen being married to Les Moonves. She seems like a decent human being who probably loves her husband. And then, you get to come home to that news.
My mother brought up a very...
Georgina Chapman.
What the hell
is the head of Marquesa doing with Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
Weinstein, whatever his name is.
My mom brought up an interesting point about Julie Chen, and I didn't think about it. Hi, Mom. Mom's in the chat room, speaking of her.
Hi.
I didn't think about this. Mom said she wonders how that relationship is because is she Korean? Well, what is her ethnicity?
I think she's Chinese.
She's Chinese.
Chinese.
So Mom was saying in those cultures, very often... It's women are always, they're subservient to men. It's the way the culture is. I don't know their relationship. I don't know how those two work out, but I'm wondering.
Her relationship is that he's extremely wealthy.
My mom's thought was, is she going to bow out of X, Y, and Z, which she did bow out of the talk.
She left that one.
And she recoiled and ran to him for this. Is she doing it because, again, is he wealthy? Is she doing it because that's the way the culture is and she has to support her man regardless?
That's a great question.
Or... Well, no, and the other part of that was, I guess, because I don't watch The Talk. Mom watched it regularly, and she said that during all these other things, the Harvey Weinstein and Cosby and all these other things that came out, mm-hmm. Julie Chen was like, believer, and she was apparently a loudmouth about, you know, being against
all that. She was. She got called out bad.
So then the same thing happens to her husband, all of a sudden, zip, not a word, nothing. She just, I'm out, yep. I gotta spend time at home.
And she got criticized for doing a video bye-bye to The Talk. She didn't even go on the show. She just recorded a video.
And I kind of figured as much. Mm-hmm.
And then she said, I'm never going to discuss the thing with him, what he did. I'm not discussing it. Or if he did anything. She's like, I'm
out. She retained the hosting of the Big Brother series.
That'll have a question mark.
And that's also a huge moneymaker for CBS. I'm sure it is. But I don't know. It was an interesting thought. But that confliction, like when I saw Cosby today, I listened all day to the news. And then when it happened, I saw that footage of him being held. And I thought for sure they were not going to show him in cuffs. But apparently somebody made it. A point that they had to do, or maybe it was the judge that made it a point for it, but it was just, again, it was a conflict, and I wondered how you all would react with regards to that from the standpoint of somebody that you admired or liked or was a fan of, and then all of a sudden you find out they're really a douche, and
some women stay and some don't, in those cases, which I think is like kind of the next evolution of that question is, you know, do you stay if someone cheats? Do you stay if they had this questionable, these allegations of these kinds of behavior? Like Kavanaugh's wife, it's right there. Hillary Clinton stayed with Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Right.
But some women leave.
Yeah.
No, it's really, it's, I don't know. It's
what's her face with?
Well, I'm going bigger than that. Not just with Julie Chen staying with Les Moonves, but like I'm talking about the conflict as a fan looking at somebody.
Oh.
And that feeling of, it would be like,
it's tough. People are complex.
I mean, what if you found out that, you know, Streisand all of a sudden was an axe murderer and you never knew it?
Right.
Part of you is going to be a fan of that because she's going to Dexter her way through something.
Well, it depends on who she killed. Let's back this up just a minute. Hang on.
Oh, that's true. That's absolutely true.
She bring up people socially.
Bridget in the chat room. Bridget, I agree. I agree he should be locked up for it. All I'm saying is you look at somebody and your brain has to fight for a second between I admired him, he's funny, I really like his work, and then, I really shouldn't like his work because he took advantage of people.
I liked this thing called Medium, and now it's sending me – I read like Atlantic Monthly and other thing, you know, essay-driven things, and so this Medium thing has found me. And I was like reading it all weekend, and someone – it was a woman actually wrote an article about that saying we don't have to hate all the art that artists create that have bad behavior. Artists throughout history have had bad behavior.
True.
And we don't have to hate their art. Like, we can't like not ever look at a painting like that by that person again because we found out, oops, had sex with a 14-year-old girl or something, or boy. So things like that. And I thought,
How often do you, have sex with a 14-year-old boy? How often does that happen?
No, I'm saying historically.
Ask the Catholics.
like Leonardo da Vinci. So should we stop looking at Leonardo da Vinci, all of his great, because he had sex with teenage boys. Sorry, but he did. So
it was a different time.
Well, that's an argument.
kidding.
I totally agree with you on that. I think it's very conflicted. How do we... How do we deal with that?
Right.
I mean, it's the same about the time argument. So Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. So should we just remove him from history?
Right. No.
Did he not make any contribution to society?
That should be taught equally with his accomplishments.
That should
be the same. Because the thing about rape culture is we're never going to get rid of it if we keep explaining it and we keep forgiving it.
I couldn't agree more.
As long as we keep watching The Cosby Show and enjoying Louis C.K.'s old stand-ups and thinking of Thomas Jefferson as the greatest of all great founding fathers,
I agree with that.
Then rape culture is never going to go away. We're still in it.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And that's why all of these women are standing behind these men that have done terrible things because it's in this culture. It's part of this thing that we don't know how to deal with because we think part of it, we all still think it's partly our fault.
Yes.
Like, ask any woman who's been assaulted, she will, to her dying day, think that it's a little bit her fault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why they don't come forward,
too. You know what I mean? We're never going to get rid of rape culture until we stop defending it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Entirely.
Yes.
Throw out all the Da Vincis, burn the fucking Cosby Show. I'm in. Right. Like, no, burn it down to the ground. We're never going to get rid of it.
My next question, which I know we talked about before, and Al may have some insight to this because I know he reads... not all the trades, but you read a lot of entertainment stuff with regards to, Hollywood Digest you get?
Entertainment Weekly.
I know we talked about this some time ago when those allegations came out about him, you know, when it really got hyped up. I feel bad for the Felicia Rashads and the Malcolm Jamal Warners and all that.
The collateral damage.
The collateral damage that he's done, and the fact that they're... part of their world was banking on the fact that we are in a hot series that's going to go into syndication. I'm going to get residuals for the rest of my life. That's my life.
They're fucked over.
So that's what I'm wondering. Is there a way to tastefully at all show that show that did have a lot of good lessons and light, you know, there were in funny things, yada, 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 so that those people can get their resids? And anything,
same happened with Roseanne.
And anything that he were to have gotten from it, donate to whatever charity.
No, they just need to sue him. It's time to just sue him.
Oh, they sue him. And, oh,
yeah,
that's...
just sue him for every penny he's got for the residuals. Can you do that? They should start now. It's time to start because now.
That's interesting. That'd be a good way to do it.
And that's one of the ways to stop the culture is to not make like, oh, it's funny, but he was a horrible person. Just
no. I wanted to. Two things I wanted to add on to the direction you took us, which is the right way.
You're welcome.
Well, I know a lot about
rape. She does that often.
I also did. Yeah, I know.
She does.
Well, I know a lot about rape culture. And so one thing that I would...
Hashtag believe the women.
Yes. That I would add to this, and my class at school keeps coming up on this, because actually we're on sexual assault is chapter 6 in one of our books. So just was talking about it.
What a great chapter.
I would like you to see the look on their faces when I'm giving that lecture and they're shitting their pants all over the place. So what I would like to reinforce of what you said is, one of the worst hangover kind of things that we have is rape culture. Mm-hmm. So while oppression of women is still staggering, since, say, the 1950s or the evolution, there have been a lot of strides towards equality. But starting with Weinstein and then moving through the resurgence of Me Too and all of it is that piece of it, especially the rape culture piece, is way out of whack with, like, where we should be. That's like 1922, you know, and whereas other things are still women in the workplace, all that kind of stuff, it's still not totally, you know, egalitarian or equal, but it's getting better.
Right, but then
that's not the area where it is, and
Stanford
it is painfully.
And the judge doesn't want to ruin some young
Brock Turner.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, exactly.
That's where it goes wrong.
That one thing about this is I've loved the memes that are showing up all over Facebook. The one I saw a bunch last night. I hope I'm saying it right. She said, "Let me get this straight." Raping and sexually assaulting is something that all 17-year-old boys do, except Kavanaugh. Am I getting the shape of this right? So that's where we are. The explanation is, all teenage boys will be boys. They all do it.
Except for him.
But not this one.
But not this one.
Because it wasn't in his calendar.
Just disturbing that is. So I totally agree with you. The only way it ends is if we stop, like you said, defending and explaining it, and also men have to join the cause. And that's the new evolution now, is that domestic violence, sexual assault, rape culture is a men's issue. And men have to be held responsible, but they have to hold other men accountable.
Yeah.
That's the newest kind of
That'd be helpful.
Thing. Well, very. Yeah. That is, and in fact, that's, I just
Either
went
that
to
or we just start stabbing them, which I'm okay with, too.
Stabbing
that
them goes, in the face.
Wow, there's that.
But that goes with
You
priests.
Should meet my friend April Sokol on Facebook. She'd like to stab a few men in the face.
Oh, mm-hmm. If you're not friends with her yet.
Wouldn't be the face. No.
Priests, sorry, that was my editorial
religious
comment.
Religious people, cops.
Another bishop
you
today.
You have to... In Buffalo, at that beautiful church, but you have to hold the other people in your class accountable for what they're
peer
doing.
Accountability,
yeah,
sure.
Peer accountability has to happen. Not all cops are bad, but the good cops need to see a bad cop and say
and throw him the fuck out.
And by the way, it's really powerful. So what we're noticing, this like male peer group, especially on college campuses, fraternity, this whole rape culture effect, which is magnified in the construct of
an ASU
school.
Notoriously.
Oh my god! our book put ASU in the book. I'm like, that's some nerve.
It was the number one date like, rape college for years.
Yeah.
But this is good. I have some good news to report. This newer, younger generation, while sexual assault is a problem on college campuses for sure, it's a smaller amount of – it's a concentrated group that's doing a lot of it. So you'll get like the student athlete and he's raping 10 girls, not one guy – a bunch of guys doing it once. So there's still a lot of that too. But anyway, what we're noticing now is some of them are getting raised better and this holding them accountable is happening. Mm-hmm. So the culture is changing, and now it is. I'm happy to report this. So you'll see young men now, like someone says a sexist joke or whatever, and they're like, "Dude, that's not cool." Like this new thing of like, "What do you guys do when there's no women around?"
Right.
What do you doing? No one's watching.
And they do. I had a guy in because we watched The Hunting Ground from CNN, which is all from 2013. It's all about sexual assault on college campuses across the country. It's a hard to watch film, but
have you seen that one?
Oh my god, that's so good.
Hard to watch.
No, I show that in the class, and they're all like, "Oh my god!" And now I lost my train of thought on that. But it's now I remember. Okay,
your so train's going too fast, Doug.
There, yeah. I get excited when I get something when it's something I'm passionate about. So, but this one of the male students in there, I did a hypothetical, which is I probably shouldn't have done this one in class because it had a little bit of a judgment about it. I said, you know, now with all the drinking, hazing, sexual assault, a lot of universities and colleges now are saying we're done with Greek life. Like we're just not going to do it. And I said out loud, this might have been a mistake, but I said, I wonder if there will be a day when there won't be any at all. And one of my students got a little upset. He's like, well, I certainly hope not, because he was like the president of his fraternity or whatever. And I was like, oh, wow. And then he said, but I want you to know, I'm taking all of this seriously. He's like, that is not what our fraternity does. And we actively, like, we have a statement about it. We're holding people accountable. Like, I'm doing this.
Right.
Don't, you know, I'm helping. Yeah.
Right. And if you see something, say something. Because it all has to come from...
Everyone has to do it.
Internally. We're going to get to this very dark topic.
See what you did, Clayton.
Too, so. Oh, good.
I'm sorry?
See what you started.
I mean, the other thing to do, though, is the minute that, and what these networks have to do, and maybe Les Moonves wasn't doing it where he worked, and however it goes down. But if you're in charge, and you've got somebody just getting bigger and bigger, do the background checks. Ask around. Start going to your
somebody
sets.
Knows.
Start going to your sets and asking people, do you feel safe? Go to your workplace. Mm-hmm. Does everyone feel safe? Is there some situation, some kind of an anonymous thing? Is something
HR
happening
can
where
do
you
that
don't
one.
Feel safe? Like, there's a way to handle these things where you can ask people in a way where they can answer anonymously. Don't ask for demographics. Just say, is there a situation in your workplace where you don't feel you don't feel comfortable? Is there some, and then they can get right to it and find out who is it. Mm-hmm. And if
or is it just the culture of your workplace?
Is it
too?
Right? Is it just toxic?
You know, like things I've heard, like Intel has a terrible
all of the I mean
male dominated rape
Valley
culture.
Is
yeah,
women is horrible.
I probably
horrible
shouldn't have said their name on
culture.
That show.
No, no, because
you know what? Turns out they're not a sponsor.
No,
oh, okay.
Not only not a sponsor, but the gig is up on all of them.
Well, you know Gina Florio's boyfriend. I just want to call him husband, but they're not married. No. Ian,
they are married.
There.
They got married so they could live out of the country.
Oh, they did?
They did.
How did I miss that?
I don't know.
They did on the DL.
Not paying any damn attention.
Okay.
Just saying.
So he's the one that reported that to me. He was like, because he's a pretty evolved male, and he was like, Doug, you cannot believe these fucking people at Intel that I work with. Sexist, homophobic, and racist. There's a trifecta for you. Well, they often go together. But he said it was just a horrible place to work for that.
Wow.
Great.
I believe it.
Uh-huh. White male nerds.
They were all freaked out that his girlfriend, at the wife, girlfriend at the time, that she worked at the gay bar and all that shit. And they were just like, what? And he was like, because one of the nights he was like, yeah, I'm going down to Stacy's, I think it was, you know, go meet up with her. She's working, or Cobalt. She's bartending on Friday night. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you would go to a gay bar? And he's like, yeah, she works there. And they're like, yeah, we know that. But like, how could you ever go to one?
Yeah.
He was like, because I'm friends with all her friends. Like,
it's
also the 21st century. And what are you fucking talking about? Yeah, it was awful.
No, right, so Silicon Valley. Yeah. Like my mother's been. my mom was in tech starting in the 80s, and she was part of not one, not two, but three class action lawsuits against different tech companies, like big tech companies that you know the name of, for sexism.
Sure,
because she was passed over for promotions. Like, this is a thing that happens regardless of any other misbehavior. Like, this is not a woman-friendly environment.
Mm-hmm. And if I could bring this into entertainment. This is my problem with 9 to 5, the musical. This is a very serious topic in an age where, yes, there's a little wink-wink to the copier and all that stuff. But the issue is three women in the workplace dealing with sexism, violence in the workplace, and sexual aggression.
Violence against women.
There's not, like, they handle it very nicely. Like, they get it across in a way, but that shows you, like, this, we're going to hold you hostage and ship you off and take this company over rather than put up with this shit. But the musical kept winking at it, and I'm like, no, you have to buy into this whole thing. Like, just because it's 25 years later and the copier's funny, then you make it look like you're laughing at her being, like, almost raped in an office.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to keep that in check. Like, watch your tone with how you tell this very important story. Like, that is women in the 80s at
all
the workplace
time.
That took someone hostage and fixed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, took over their office.
So you have to be careful when you start winking at times or making a joke about, like, the copier when, like, this is a very serious through line here that you just can't, Your 11 o'clock number can't be, I found a locker for my hat. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta.
If you don't get that reference, watch the movie and you'll understand it. I get the reference.
It's one of those movies that the reason it stays so timely is because what they're facing is from every angle some level of sexism or just sexual aggression. Like, she almost gets raped in that office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a comedy, but they handle it deftly, but... Mm-hmm. You just you can't start winking in the middle of a musical.
Like, I killed the boss. You don't think they're going to fire me for that?
Right.
That a girl.
But now, if you told that story, you killed him. That's justifiable.
I said kill him.
Right.
Especially F. Hart. He needs to be
F. Hart. But at Hart.
But played brilliantly by Dabney Coleman in that movie.
Right.
Played brilliantly by him.
How can we solve that problem?
Take a breather. Kat, what you been up to all week? How's the iPhone doing for
you? Gosh, now that we won feminism.
We solved it.
And who'd have thought you'd have been around for that ride out of this studio? My God.
Look at you. My gosh. Feminism. News at 11.
But before that, we're going to show a midget in a bikini.
Yeah.
Who knew I'd be on that boat?
Yeah. Who knew?
Surprise. Everyone was as surprised as me.
Yeah.
I didn't even know we had a boat.
Well, and yet we talk to the ships at sea.
Yeah, we do. Well, from land.
Is that irony? Alanis will never tell us.
Well, yes, she'll never
know. The iPhone is fine. Same. Okay. Like, I literally notice almost zero difference.
Yeah.
It's
intuitive. That's what they keep telling you.
So it isn't like some huge leap from Android.
Apple and Google have been stealing so much from each other for the past 10 years. They're all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all just the same. So that's wonderful.
The only thing the phones can't do yet is wipe your ass. But I hear they're working on it.
But this one's waterproof, so in a pinch.
Oh. In a pinch, yeah.
In desperate times.
We're already at that part of the show.
Pretty sure I could.
I think I'd find a cool mountain stream somewhere and just bidet my way through that.
It's not always available to you.
I've recently been to Vermont. I can point out the stream to you.
Good to know.
That's nice. Other than that, I have a very dull life. I've gone to work. I've gone home.
Yeah.
I had some sleep interruption today, and that's about the end of it.
Actually, when you go home, that's work, too. Because you're shirting your way through everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was telling Sharon in the 3 minutes that I saw her before I left the house, as she arrived home from work.
You waved.
High five, yeah.
Lesbians that pass in the night is what that is.
That's intimate, right?
Yeah. That's what relationships are supposed to be, right?
It could make for a better relationship.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's the only reason we're still together. Well,
exactly.
We don't ever see each other often enough
to
really
disagree.
We'll
wait for the lo-fi for another day, but the high five will work for now.
No lesbian bed death in your relationship thus far.
Right.
Okay.
I worked.
Just the fact that they're never in the same bed at the same time.
I worked with a couple.
Our bed is alive and kicking.
He was a bartender at night, and she, he ended up bartending at night. She was working at like a 9 to 5 during the day, and then, and it worked because they didn't have to do any childcare. Because he was home during the day.
Which is how our schedule initially evolved, and because we were trying to save $800 a month on daycare.
Yeah. He works like 4 nights a week, and you work the days, and how is that? And she was like, it's a great marriage.
Yeah.
She was like, I am so happy. And she really was not kidding. She said, our quality time is so good together, like on the weekend. And he made sure he has Saturday off. He works Sunday. And, you know, they worked it. And she was like, so it's compacted, but it's really good. And so we don't have time to start our arguments with each other. But because it'd be a waste of time. And I thought... That's a very interesting recipe for a marriage.
Yeah. My mom's parents always said their marriage lasted so long because he drove a bus for Trailways and was gone all the time.
Right.
So she just ran the house and the girls, and it was like, yeah.
Yeah, my parents, parents worked opposite shifts their entire life.
A nurse,
okay.
Right.
Because your mom worked nights, right?
No, she worked days or afternoons, and my father worked midnight. So that way, it was to avoid any kind of like babysitting.
Sure.
They did shift work to make sure somebody was always
at home.
It was like an hour where I was left alone, and I would just go to the neighbor's house.
Sure, you did a lot.
I just went and watched General Hospital with the neighbor. You know what I mean?
Right.
With a 12,
with a 12 pack or a bottle of wine or whatever you carried. Because you started early. I know you started early.
That was making their drinks. I didn't come with my own, but I just went to the neighbor's house for a while.
Making the highballs.
And so I would walk home from, I wouldn't walk to my house from school. I would walk to someone else's house and. I would just watch General Hospital with them, and then, I'd see my mom get dropped off. She only had one car, so my mom always carpooled. Mm-hmm. My mom carpooled before carpooling was a thing.
Mm-hmm. And then she, mm-hmm. then you walk to that the other house.
Yeah, then I just walked home and.
Okay, my basement's open. I'm going home now. You just walk.
Yeah, it was one of those
Thanks,
days.
Thanks, Mrs. Whitaker.
Yeah, that my babysitter just got too old to babysit me. I still needed a babysitter, but there was no one around, so it was like, "Well, just go home and watch TV." Like, I'm like, "I'm just watching General Hospital. Can I just do that from here?" Like, nothing changes.
Let me tell you, technology is the great babysitter.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
I can plop my kids in front of a video game or a movie and leave for hours,
and you grow up
and come
super
home,
fast.
And they're in the exact same spot. They don't move.
Yeah,
at all,
and probably don't even know you were gone.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes,
yeah,
that Sometimes. Must be a godsend for like on the road trips now because they can either.
It's oh, amazing. Right.
Like yeah. I saw this car amazing. That they have this screen in the back seat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those have been around for a long time. Yeah, no, that technology actually slowed down a lot, and so now they don't want it. They just want their iPad or their device.
Yeah, their handheld device. But I mean, I would be like thinking, like, can't wait to go home and find out what happens to Luke and Laura today. I was watching Rape Culture,
from the get-go.
Network sponsored.
In the daytime.
Married her rapist.
Oh,
that's right.
Oh, that was a huge deal.
That was uncomfortable.
I didn't realize you were going to go full circle again. Yeah.
So what did you do last
week? We're just coming around to that.
I guess.
As soon as we land back on Rape Culture, we got to move on to the next
Did we cut you off, though? I think you were saying, how are things at home?
Literally always.
On a day like today... We don't need to be cutting you off from anything. You say whatever you want to say.
Right, that's right.
You take all the time you need.
Patronizing, that's a good way to do it.
I'm still going to mansplain.
But we are going to bring in a woman that we're not going to identify yet to interview you.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah, because we don't want to be pictured.
Because that doesn't look weird.
I'm pretty sure I do all the mansplaining around here. I'm pretty sure I'm the one like condescendingly explaining things, so you're good there.
No, I think we all take turns at that.
Oh, maybe.
We all take a turn.
Maybe I think I've done my share of condescending explaining to people.
No, my week's good, and you're right. I am always at work. In fact, somebody was texting me about some business stuff this afternoon. She says, "Well, are you at work?" And I'm like, "Well, I work part-time from home, so aren't I always at work?"
Yeah.
I'm standing in my kitchen right now, if that's what you mean. Like, I don't know what
I'm in the break room at my home office.
Not sure how to answer that.
Right.
Exactly.
Am I able to devote attention to what we're talking about? Yes.
And unless you're a person who literally does, like you said, a 9-to-5 or a corporate job that is clock in, clock out, and they don't do anything else.
Yeah.
I think anymore, everybody's at work.
Students are emailing me right now, and I'm fighting the urge to respond.
Yeah, but I mean, anymore, because it's a 24 24/7 culture. Everybody's at work all the time.
Yeah.
So,
because we don't.
I don't think the bar is super like that. I mean, I'll answer a call, but I dodged a phone call this weekend. Some pain in the ass that should know better was calling me. I was like, mm-mm.
Some pain in the ass that should
It's Sunday night. You know what the fuck you're doing.
They have to figure it out.
I know the initials of that phone caller right
sure
now.
You do.
Yeah. So anyway.
Sure you do. And I went, nope.
Not today, Satan. Yep. Not today.
Looked at my phone. I put it back down. I finished watching Sharp Objects, which,
my God.
So good.
God.
I thought it was so good.
Did you know it was coming? Because you hadn't read the book, right?
No, I hadn't read the book. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know it was coming.
I didn't know anything about
it. I put it together like 5 minutes before it happened. I was like, mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
When I was reading that book, I'm like, this bitch is twisted.
Yeah.
I just remember closing that book because I think that was
like the woman that wrote that. I just never want to meet.
Yeah. I don't want to know.
Well,
yeah,
she's
right.
3 for 3. I'm like, just you're like, oh.
Yeah. Because she's Gone Girl, right?
Yeah. And she's the other name that I never, because there's Dark Places, Sharp Objects, and Gone Girl. The first two titles are eerily similar. And both of them have endings that you're like, what in the bleeding fuck? But the last one I read by her was this one, Sharp Objects. And when I closed it, I'm like, oh, you need help.
I never want to meet her.
May I have that bottle opener that hang in front of your iPad?
I did read an interesting thing just about her motivation. She said that when writing books, she said that, God, we can't get away from this topic of like violence and things tonight. But
it's been everywhere. It's been an awful, awful week.
I think
it's
called an arc.
It's called an arc. And so,
it's the last of a bottle of this.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to break into a bigger bottle. The show goes better with this.
You mean that Roederer?
Whatever, the bottle that's in there.
Oh, I'll be having a sip of that.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite champagnes.
We're going to crack it next.
This is cool, though. She was saying that she looked around at how violence is portrayed in movies, and she said, you know, none of those stories has really resonated with me. And she said, I'm really interested in violence committed by women.
Yeah.
And I thought, that is interesting, you know. It's just
which I kind
said,
of get that. Or I wish there was more of that.
Or to have the camera shine from. I read the interview.
Oh, okay. You can help me with that.
If I
interpreted that correctly or not. But
the violence happening, but to get it thrown back from the perspective of the woman,
right?
Like not to just watch some
naked girl getting stabbed in a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but to actually
see, she wasn't
like,
interested in that.
Right. So, but now take the story from the person that made it through something.
Right.
And
yeah.
the thing that they didn't do in the movie version of Sharp Objects that they do a little bit more in the book is what happened in that clubhouse.
Okay.
Like, what it is that she went through. And because it's that Jean-Marc Vallée that I think has a beautiful way of, like, just getting you through these, like, ghosty, haunting images, that that's all you get is the flavor, like, kind of like Big Little Lies.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you don't actually ever need to see anyone get hit. You know in that first scene, the way she, like, just tenses up when he sits down that, like, oh, this ain't happy.
Right.
Like, but, and... And for a man to be able to get that through without having to show someone, like a woman, just be brutal. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like Jack Ryan was just the new Amazon thing with John Krasinski.
What am I? They're really shoving that down everybody's throat. I haven't watched it yet.
Fucking peeves in movies is why do I have to watch that woman take a shower?
Right.
What
why?
Is the point
I know.
To this
drives me crazy.
Shower scene. There's a movie with Kate, someone or other, one of those invisible Kates. She's up in the North Pole or South Pole, and she's investigating a murder. She takes a shower in the middle of it. Why is there a shower?
Right.
Why does Sigourney Weaver have to take a shower in that Alien movie? Like, what is the point of these showers? Jack Ryan, in the middle of it, took a shower. And I'm like, it's about fucking time for an absolutely pointless shower scene.
Gratuitous shower scene.
The one thing with him is you see battle scars. Like, you get to see his back all fucked up that he has a bad back. So you get to see the scars and his ass.
Right.
So my friend and I that are watching stuff that he's always like, I don't understand why you're always so pissed off about stuff. I'm like, were you uncomfortable with that shower scene? He's like, well, I didn't understand it. I'm like, right, because it wasn't a woman. Right. Now there's a guy for no reason taking a shower. It has nothing to do with the story. I could tell you I have a bad back. You don't need to see me naked. So... I was very happy that they finally turned it around.
Yeah.
Like, and I think John Krasinski's very handsome, so I was very happy for you.
All right.
In a reverse sexism.
How does that work? I'm not sure how I feel about that.
But if it's a reverse.
I'm going to get back to you on
it's
that.
It's still just lecherous and awful. It's
if we don't want to see gratuitous showers from women, the answer isn't evening it out with men. Right, I always thought that was so interesting about it. If we even have the bad behavior, then we fixed it. No, stop all the bad behavior.
Right, yeah. That's what I mean. It's reverse.
Oh, they do this in reverse at all kinds of other places.
Yeah. I'd go to the restaurant called Penises once. You know what I mean? Hooters sister chain. Brother chain? I don't know. So what'd you do?
Lesser known cousin chain.
I've done nothing.
One time.
Nothing but work.
And then I'd
usual.
Be just as disgusted. And wouldn't say they have good wings.
I wouldn't go.
No, I've just come to the conclusion I'm not going to get caught up until this semester's over. So it's just...
That seems fair.
Busy.
And oh, yeah.
I can't. It is actually fair. I can't. I want to complain about it because I'm miserable when I'm this busy. That's the only thing is... And I'm even trying to manage time well, and it's still not happening. So one funny thing today is right before I left to go to school, I almost ran out of time. This is how busy I was. I almost didn't have enough time to email the woman to tell her I don't have any time to come to her meeting. And I was thinking of the meta of that as I was typing and looking because I had like the light rail's coming in 7 minutes. And I'm like, do I send it now? Should I send it on my phone? And I finally was just like, and I thought, where am I now?
I have no time.
I'm so busy. I can't even tell. I don't have time to tell people.
It goes around for Sweeney Todd, too, at the end. He has no time.
So, but I'm holding up. So, we do something called a fall break, which is ridiculous. It's one class session. It's not like spring break. You get the whole week off. But fall break, we get half of the week off. So I'll get like 5 days off in a row.
Yeah.
That'll be lovely.
And but I will be able to rebound.
And I had this weird theory when I was like in my mid-30s. Like, I'm not just going to put my head down and bowl through this. I'm going to experience it. I'm going to have all the lights on. I'm going to be part of the experience.
That is so fucking stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Just tell you, as a much wiser woman, I just know, like, October, I'm going to be fucking busy. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm just going nose down when November, I'll be November person will look around and be like, well, how'd we do?
Head down till Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yeah.
No, that's really it.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing good.
Yeah.
And then, no, the head goes back down, like, the weekend and before
Christmas.
Thanksgiving. You know it comes after Christmas. Because I don't even celebrate the goddamn holiday, and somehow December just turns into this, like, you got to be everywhere. Thing. Yeah. Yeah,
I checked out of that a long time
ago. I remember it used to be that way because every party, so every gathering, fest, and I was like, I'm just tired of it all.
I say no to all of them, and somehow that month still gets.
I don't go.
Yeah. I don't understand. Yeah. I say no to all of them.
It's just the feeling of it. And everyone else is stressed out. That whole typically, energy that
it,
in the air.
Yeah, it kind of comes
and you pick
to,
up all the shifts for the people that are going.
Oh, my God. That's what I've always done.
Yeah. I still find, and even at 49 years old, I still find that once we get just, maybe it's Thanksgiving Day evening or maybe it's the next day, I just feel a darkness come in because I get depressed in December. I have for years.
Mine is January 2nd.
And I don't really celebrate Christmas anymore. Mom and I do something, but it's not like it used to be. I'm not excited about it. But there's something about it, and I'm not.
I feel you.
Part of me thinks I know what it is, but part of me is like, I have nothing solid that says that.
Yeah.
So it's I just do.
Alan
not like
and I have talked
month.
About this. That it's my least favorite month, and you said it so well. Right at Thanksgiving, it creeps in. I think December's. I can't wait for it to be over.
Right.
So we've talked about it because I'm the happiest person on July 1, and Al isn't. But
wait, January 1 or July 1?
I'm sorry, January. Sorry, January 1.
And part of the whole thing is I
love when Christmas is over.
I despise all these schedule disruptions. Mm-hmm. There's fucking parades everywhere. There's new hours for this, new hours for that, special holiday hours. And I just want a regular goddamn schedule. So when we get to January 2nd,
that makes sense to me.
We're right back on track is what I like. Now, why is it that January affects you?
Oh, because they take down the lights and it's just gray and bleak. And like, there's just not like... Then it's just like, blah.
There's nothing to look forward to again until like March.
Yeah. And then you're in the weather that I don't like it. Like, I don't like January's weather, just like I don't like July's weather anywhere. Like, it's just like it's rainy all the time. It's cold. It's dark.
I got you.
And no matter where you go, the weather's shitty. So unless they're putting on a musical, I don't want to see you.
All right.
So for my week, we went to my friend Nate and Jen's wedding in the beautiful and as of yet unexplored Central La Jolla, as we pronounce it.
La Jolla.
I had been up north by where the wedding was because that's where Scripps Institute is and it's where Black's Beach is. I've been there once, but there's the Torrey Pines hiking trail, the Torrey Pines Beach and the La Jolla Public Beach. I've been all up there, left... I've been to La Jolla Playhouse for the Donna Summer Musical and a couple other things I've seen have played up there. Just had never made it into the actual town. It is stunning and probably my second favorite city after Santa Monica for just
it's
loveliness.
Amazing.
Very nice. Everything is walkable.
Now, you sent me four lovely pictures. We don't have to do them in any sequence. But
let's start with the one with the cute animal. So there is the seals up by the Scripps Institute, which I had seen before. But then in just the public beaches, and there's a children's thing that's kind of south of this photo. They called it the Children's Cove, and they built this little break so that kids can swim in the ocean without the danger of big waves, and the water's calmed down by break walls and everything.
That's
in a like a half-natural
little
cove.
Little lagoon.
Yeah, half-natural cove, half-man-made cove.
Oh.
And, the seals have taken over, and there's been a little bit of a conflict as to whether you should let people interact with the seals.
No, because they will bite you.
They will.
They will bite
they will
you.
Bite the fuck
but it was
out of
built
you.
For children, so you can't really take away like.
Will bite the children
because the seals found it comfortable too. You have to find a way to live in harmony with nature, and that's kind of the balance that
the seals will eat your children.
Well, I'm also certain
all the course,
that's the balance.
What in the hell?
Circle of life, kid.
Eating, you ate your child.
All of the courts have come to the agreement that we shall share this space, so it's now open again to children. And there's seals there. So there's people getting their wedding pictures. And then we walked a little bit further north to this beach, and it was just like, oh, they're right there. They're right there. They're right there. They're right there. And they're sea lions and seals.
Sea lions are meaner.
Yes, are.
I would also guess that they don't want a lot of interaction because if the people start feeding them, that screws everything up.
And then they get tame, right?
They just tell you, and
especially
they tell you on signs everywhere.
Children. Yeah.
Like, look at the number of tasty. This, and every it's kind of like a Where's Waldo. Every time you think you're done finding a seal or a sea lion,
you think it's a rock and it's a seal.
There's another one.
Well, what is this one doing down here? This bent over the rock thing. What is this one doing?
Just posing and playing, and they're delightful creatures. The
until
the
they
sea
bite
lions
your face off.
And eat your kid.
So that's what the signs say. Like don't interact. Like you can be in the same place,
take the
keep
pictures,
a distance. But if you get too close and they attack you. It's on you.
Tough shit.
Tough shit. And they tell you that the because there's babies everywhere, because obviously we've just gone through some kind of a breeding period or a birthing period.
Yeah.
And they're nursing. Like, they were actively nursing on the beach. It was adorable to see. And they're saying, like, don't touch the pups, because there's a chance that your scent will keep the mother from nursing them.
Oh, yeah.
So, not and really. it's just, as you go up La Jolla, as you go up the beaches, there's just seals and sea lions everywhere. Now, if you know my rules about being in the ocean, don't swim near seals or sea lions, because sharks.
Yeah. Oh, valid. Yeah. There you go. So, that's shark bait.
So there's the circle of life.
Circle of life.
Seal eats and your baby.
And Al has no desire to be part of the circle.
No, I just want to be on Shark Week. But I don't care. You know, I don't care how I get there. Yeah. Arab man, I don't care. Just put me on Shark Week.
I don't care.
Caravan, Arab man, however it rhymes.
Yeah.
So then, but the wedding was that weekend, and it was absolutely gorgeous. So we'll see some photos. This is Harrison and I.
That is such a great picture.
Which was beautiful picture. I believe it was the Martin Johnson
house. Why is she not on the board right now?
She gets in around 8.
Oh, okay.
She comes in a little bit later.
That's
so
a great picture.
Let me just say the name of this venue in case you decide you would like to get married there. It's the Martin Johnson House at Scripps Institute. It's above. So if you show pictures, you'll see the sunsets.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous. Picture.
So there is the sun setting behind us at our table. So that at beautiful. First we thought we were in like a horrible, like we were like, wow, we have really been low ranked. But the bride and groom were seated right next to that tree. So we were actually like right in front of the bride and groom.
No, it's funny because I know if Molly Montgomery was listening, she'd lose her mind.
Oh, no, it's the chewing.
That sound.
Oh. It's the chewing.
Do it again.
There you go.
Potato chip bag. There
I'm
we go.
Sorry.
So the sunsets were beautiful in this venue.
She stopped listening years ago.
This picture, I mean, that should just be a mural on your wall. That's beautiful. Look at that.
It was absolutely.
That is gorgeous.
Isn't it?
Breathtaking. It was it's a breathtaking spot. La Jolla is lovely. And that's the actual the pier of La Jolla, the Scripps Institute, the Marine Biological Institute.
Okay,
it's just lovely up there. We had a long weekend up there. There's Cody. She is 7 months pregnant. She and her husband, my friend Tony,
lovely.
And Harrison had a house with their daughter Dakota. They've been wonderful hosts in San Diego the last few times we've stayed, whether we've stayed with them or stayed nearby. And then we decided to all have a vacation for us, a staycation for them. So we all got a house in La Jolla, and it was a lovely weekend. Spent time with the bride and groom, like had a little party time with them, a little party time with each other. And we walked up and down that beach morning and night. Like, we went for walks, and Tony is the best cook. Oh,
I need an explanation about something.
Uh-huh.
You sent me a text about if I go by your house or whatever, take pictures of the invitation. Jesus. And then it was like, nobody knows where the wedding is. We don't know where we're going. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're even talking about. So explain this whole story.
Okay. So here's my new compartmentalizing everything. Like, I can only, as we were just talking about keeping your head down, I can only deal with now whatever the next thing that's on my plate is. Like, now I have to focus on getting to waitress next Wednesday. Like, that's it.
You should do that.
Yeah. That's.
Oh, I should bring your ticket.
You should bring my ticket. That's. You know what I mean? And then it's that trip. Then there's a trip that's coming up, but I can't start planning things 4 events away.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't do it anymore. So I just have to do this.
Okay.
So I had everything for the wedding out on the table, and then I packed. I was very careful. I packed 17 ties, 16 shirts.
Okay.
Because I had forgotten so many things for destination weddings recently. Everything came with, except for the invitation to the wedding with the location.
Oh, my God.
And I had put, just as a placeholder, La Jolla Playhouse at 7 o'clock, because that's when the Donna Summer musical started.
Oh.
So, sure. That seems fair.
Okay.
So we go to the first night was a cocktail reception, but everyone's from out of town. It was the first true destination wedding where, usually it's just me that's from out of town. This time, everyone's from out of town. So the cocktail reception on Friday night, as these things I've learned have gone, the cocktail reception for out-of-town guests.
It's a whole thing.
Was at the bride and groom's rental house, but we were. It was all the guys talking. Well, it's all straight guys and me, and it's all straight guys in their 20s and early 30s, except for me. And you find out that
how much was there to drink?
A lot. Everyone, and it's California, so you can imagine what else is going on. So everyone is like
starting to sound a lot better to me.
Right?
Like, where are we? Like. Where is this on Sunday? Like, where are we going on Sunday? And then it was like, oh, I'm like, well, you know, the rehearsal thing is tomorrow. Or I'm like, I'm invited to that. Like, we can find out then. They're like, oh, it's a rehearsal brunch. I'm like, a rehearsal brunch? They did the rehearsal at 9 a.m. So now everyone's panicking. Like, we need the information now.
We don't know where we're going.
No one knew. Not one, bless you.
Oh, my God.
Not one male at the table that was sitting around having drinks, toasting the upcoming event, knew what time it was at Sunday or where it was at Sunday.
Sometimes you get real mad at stereotypes, and then sometimes.
Not exactly.
Sometimes they all.
I was thinking it, and it was coming out of your mouth as I was thinking it.
And because it was all, we were all passing stuff, and there's wine going around, and everybody's just having a good time.
I love this story.
A couple people said it. No one wrote it down.
Sure.
So then the next morning comes along.
Well, someone's girlfriend was supposed to be in charge of that. Am I hearing that right?
Everyone's partner was supposed to be in. Yeah, was
is our the one, boyfriend. Yeah,
they have all passed it off. Well, I don't have a boyfriend, so that's his fault.
Did somebody tell you you couldn't have one?
So it's his fault. many people.
Me too.
Well, majority rules.
I got told that a lot too.
And we're going separately because Tony was in the wedding and so was their daughter Dakota. So they went to the venue and all he was supposed to come back with was like, what time is it tomorrow? Like, you clearly have the venue down so we can ask you. He forgot. We get to the wedding with all the people that weren't part of that were like, we were there for the rehearsal because now you invite people from out of town. Like, you invite a little bit smaller group of people to the rehearsal brunch. None of us know. So then finally I'm like, okay, find me a wife. Like, find me your wife. I just got find me your wife. Where's your wife? Where is the wedding tomorrow and at what time? And so I just put it in my phone with all kinds of reminders. I'm like, I don't know what I wrote down, but it's where we're going to show up tomorrow. But luckily, like an hour after, I had finally was like, bring me to a wife. Like, just give me a wife or a girlfriend. Someone who's got your itinerary for the
someone
week.
Someone who's organized.
Again, stereotypes.
Stereotypes.
They piss you off, but then
that's exactly what I said. I'm like, we are all living up to exactly, like, don't ask for directions. No one cares. We'll figure it out the day of.
Yeah.
Can I give you a tiny little hint of something to do in the future if this ever comes up again?
Put it in your phone.
No, take pictures of the invitation.
That is
so
such
it's just
a good idea.
It was supposed to go in, and because I had remembered everything else,
Clean
they were
sitting,
and you saw them sitting on my table.
I did.
They were just supposed to go in the bag.
Just right there and just go with you.
Yeah, they were not, there was not supposed to be any of this from now on. I will photograph the information. And I'm bad because, like, all the, well, not all of them, but the last few weddings I've gone to, my sisters were there, so I just knew that they would tell me what time to show up. Mm-hmm. And they would be 7 hours early and be at my door.
Right,
stereotype.
Right.
Yeah. That's not a stereotype. That's my sister. That's just those two crazy pants. But, oh my God, we taught Asian women crazy pants. So we're telling a story as Harrison and I were getting a pedicure. And you know how sometimes the ladies that are doing your nails aren't really paying attention for all kinds of different reasons? Well, I'm telling this very animated story to Harrison. And I'm like, and this bitch was crazy pants. So he broke up with her. And the lady doing my nails was like, crazy pants, crazy pants, crazy pants.
Oh,
makes
no.
you break up with her. And I'm like, yeah, crazy pants. And she's gone.
She's learning slang from you.
Right. Why you got no girlfriend?
Crazy pants.
Crazy pants.
So she's and we were the only customers because it was right before closing. So she's asking everybody that walks by, you know what crazy pants is? It was every stereotype you want to hear. Trying to describe.
I think
crazy
we should just dive into the stereotypes tonight. I think we just have to.
Well, luckily,
another glass
Asian,
of wine.
Our Asian listeners left a long time ago. And
I think everybody
this
left.
This is not going to lure them
chat
back.
Chat room is not too. Here, I'll type crazy.
Well, maybe they're just all listening too much to understand.
So that was it. So that was too long on the weekend thing. But that's what happened.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But it was funny. Congratulations to them. It was gorgeous. The food was good. Dancing was fun.
Your drive out and your drive back were lovely.
Lovely. They're all going to come up in entertainment or obsessions or wherever you need them to.
Gotcha.
So when are we going back?
Anytime you want to. I cannot wait to rent another house in La Jolla. And I've looked at all the properties.
Okay.
So
crazy
beautiful.
Pants. Well, this past week, again, it's just a lot of normal things going on. I'm loving the fact that I looked at the weather. For the extended forecast.
Please tell me it's getting
starting
better.
Monday, it drops, and our high is like 90.
Ugh.
And the nights get
finally.
Lower. So we're getting there. So it's a lovely
one
thing.
More week. I have
like
to
Monday
hang on.
94, Tuesday 91, Wednesday 89.
That's perfection.
For daytime highs.
I know, but don't get excited because Monday and Tuesday it's raining. So
Well, so what do you want to rain?
I want to see it sunny in 90.
Well, then you
So Thursday
92.
Yeah.
So We're getting there.
Yeah, but this means we can go to Postino's and sit outside. Yeah. And,
yeah, so I did that just yesterday. It was lovely.
It was a lovely thing.
All I need is under 105 and sunny, and I can sit outside. Like, 105 is my breaking point.
Right. Yeah.
That's where your misters no longer are, can accommodate my needs.
Postino's, the one I go to at Kierland, they have basically shut in their patio with blinds and stuff. And so it's basically.
It's a dark room that's
it's
outside.
It's like gorillas in the mist in there.
Yeah.
Like, it's so. Like everything's just covered in mist. And it was, I mean, it was the sun was going down.
That sounds
so it was
towards lovely.
The end of the day. But.
So other than that, not other crazy and exciting things, I'm working on a screen thing for Stacey's that has to do with. The way Stacey's is built, they have to get on a crazy tall ladder because of the way the building is built to hang a projection screen up. I'm working on a way so that one person can do it by themselves from the floor and raise it. So they're all excited to see what I come up with. So a new idea popped in today.
Motorized screens that you could just...
No, because that won't work. We can't do that to hang it above the stage, above the dance floor, where everything is. For some reason, whatever reason, I don't know.
Maybe some pulleys?
But whatever you're doing, maybe two people's the right way to go.
So we're going
to
fix it. Anyway, so there's that. And the other thing is, and it's just the gifts of friends are just really nice. Kat actually was there Friday when I was presented with it.
Here I am.
Occasional member of the cast of this show who's filled in here and there, Daniel Ray, Bootsy Lamone, 2 years ago started on this big thing about whenever... Because we've talked about the Apple Watch 100 times, and I have never, though I think it's fine, it's cool, it's a watch, whatever. The only advantage I have on this fucking watch is, or that I see is, the time is dead on accurate every single minute of the day.
Right.
But he's like, oh my God, there's so many other advantages, and da da da. And I'm like, well, I cannot justify this, spending that money on a watch.
I don't get it.
I've got my phone, I'm good. So he has been preaching the relevancy of this watch for so long. And he said, starting again a couple years ago, when the new watch comes out, I'm giving you my current one, my old one. Friday, he got up, went early. Or no, what was it? Saturday? Was it Saturday?
Because
it was show tunes when we got to there.
Was it?
Show tunes on
Saturday. Oh, good. Then it would have been Saturday.
So Saturday morning, he got up, went to the Apple store, which, by the way, the one at the Biltmore closed. They're moving
to
the new
Fashion
store
Square, right?
In Fashion Square, where there's a huge, huge
it was
multi.
All over. Did we know that was coming?
Huge multi. Yeah, it's actually, they built it where Barney's used to be. It's a multi-story big.
Oh, they did need something where Barney was. But oh, that means
yeah,
we're kind
Biltmore
of
is
one economy for the other.
Biltmore's
not,
dying.
It's dying.
So anywho, Saturday night we met at the Cobalt, enjoyed some show tunes with the Kat Carlson and Kyle Ward was there too. I was happy to see, and he presented me with the Apple Watch.
There it is.
So I have it.
Oh wow!
And so far,
are you loving it?
It just keeps accurate time for as far as I'm concerned.
It works just like a watch.
Well, it does.
You didn't walkie-talkie with it yet? I went and read a whole freaking article.
We
on
have
how
a walkie-talkie, but we're going to figure that out because apparently you can walkie-talkie to other Apple Watches. It does.
I've
met all the requirements of every day that I've worn it for all of the fitness, whatever shit is. So I have to apparently up my.
Oh, no, it shames you into doing fitness.
Does. It's got the step thing.
Well, it tells you how many calories.
Your phone will, too.
How many steps.
Well, I don't want it.
It also tells you, you've been sitting too long. You need to stand up occasionally.
That's what I don't want
you need
to
know
about.
You know, breathing occasionally helps, so it tells you that. Yes, you do get notifications, and I don't have to pull my phone out to realize somebody texts me. I get that. Or I can decline phone calls or accept phone calls on the watch, too. But, again, I appreciate it. I love that he gave it to me.
That's
great,
nice.
But it's like... Again, it's just a very accurate timepiece for me. That's really about all it is.
I mean, it's still a watch.
It's still a watch. Yeah. But you can make all the different changes and faces.
But the nice thing from a health point of view, if you have this phone, is like this is all set up. Like let's say they find me dead by the side of the road. I have in case of emergency, you have my medical allergies and my medication list on the phone. So all you need is to have somebody mildly tech savvy find my phone.
Yeah.
They can't get to any
I do have the ice thing.
Yeah,
but
you can find out my medical history.
Yeah, no, that's
what meds
really
I'm
good.
On, so
I've done that with my phone too.
Can they find out what drugs you take? I mean, meds you're on.
Yeah, right. You can list them.
Tomato.
I mean, mine are just heart.
So I'm actually horrified by the whole. You said telling you when you need to get up and everything because I did not need to see this. But because of my stress levels from work and everything, all I do is lay on the couch when I'm not working. There's only two modes I have now is lay like a dead fish on the couch to recover. And I saw this horrible thing, article thing that said...
most heart attacks occur when you're laying on a couch?
Well, yes. Yeah, actually, yes. Well, almost that. But this whole thing about like sitting and like laying around is the new smoking.
It is, yeah.
And it was so depressing to me to be like,
did you get up?
To get a glass of wine and then sit back down. But it's really bad.
It's
and
a baby
so now
step
I'm,
in the right direction.
I guess this is maybe our new a therapy moment for the evening. I think I need some help. But it's gotten bad that like I'll just lay there for like 4 or 5 hours. And then when I get up, like I don't even – like my legs are like creaky. And then I get a drink, whatever, and then I just go back and do it again. So I have to stop because – I wanted to ignore that article, but I don't think I can. Like, they were talking about takes years off your life and all these health problems, and I'm going to get a heart attack. And I thought, this is really – getting old sucks.
Well, I
– also, there's also that part.
But. I realized over the course of this weekend because I was, like, making everybody walk everywhere.
Yeah.
Let's go for a walk. You want to go for another walk?
Yeah.
Because it was beautiful outside. We're walking by the ocean. There's seals to stop and look at. Like, we could be distracted.
That will bite your
so all of a sudden,
off.
I was walking 4 and 5 miles a day for the last, you know, 4 days.
Off.
Like, it's a lot. It's quite a bit of walking. Like, everything fit comfortably because been walking. But I realized when I had to sit and be kind of still for a few days that it drove me crazy. I really was like, okay, this is fine when it's a choice, but sitting here, like, not really being able to, like, move my arms, and I'm like, Now I'm veal. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Kept still Pacata. To keep you from just going to get to, hopefully. Marsala's fine.
Marsala.
Whatever kind of sauce you want to throw on me, I'll probably enjoy it.
Well, Parmesan would work for me.
I mentioned earlier that we were going to hear from Marnie. I have received her voice.
Have we vetted the message
from beyond?
I have not heard this, so I don't know what she's going to say. But
live
we're going to take
air.
A listen to a minute and 38 seconds with Marnie Ryer and on her trip to her 30th high school reunion.
Oh my gosh.
Hey everybody, this is Marn. I am back in West St. Paul, Minnesota, and it is currently 51 degrees. So happy right now to be standing outside in the cold, crisp air. Shouldn't even say cold, more cool, crisp air. Anyway, back here, like I said, for my 30th high school reunion. Just hanging out with friends all week and catching up with some people that I've only been able to chat with either via Facebook or on the phone, via text, that kind of thing. So it's really nice to be able to sit face to face with them. And we got a big group back here. Tonight we're hanging out at the, I think it's pretty well known. It's the Fireside Lounge with fine food from West St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm pretty sure that they have a fish fry going on all the time, but especially on Fridays because that's how they roll. I will not be partaking. Anyway, I will be trying to get back there next week for the show and bring in some good stories. Hopefully, I'll have some, it'd be weird, but I'll have some opinions and some good stories. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll find some good car fucking story. I mean, we can only hope, right? Anyway, I hope that you guys have a great show and that you have a fantastic week. And cunt all, I gotta go find Meow Cal.
That was fantastic.
How fun.
That is what I was been trying to get you to do when you travel is to do a voicemail and just email it. Send it to me.
Yes.
So, well, you never asked me.
I tried to talk you through it once and you couldn't even, no, you were done.
She drinks, honey.
And when you were in Hawaii, I was trying to get you to do that and send me audio clips because you can just do it on your phone.
Well, I'll try harder.
Yeah, well, I'll teach you how.
And now that fucking voice memo thing has its own goddamn app.
Voice memo, that's it. You record it, and then you just text it to me.
Oh, there you go.
Easy.
You're going to regret you taught me how to do that.
What does it
doesn't voice mean? Memo everything to
you're
your
going to be getting
now.
All kinds of memos.
Doesn't mean I have to play it.
Internal memorandum. Starship log.
Captain's log.
Right.
Starship date, 779-421. Yes. We don't know what these numbers mean. 3-4.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
Is Aaron listening?
I hate who knows. All right, well, we'll do this and see what happens.
All right.
Obsession.
Are you obsessed? Is it keeping you up at night? Do you find yourself constantly making references only to be met with blank stares?
Obsession.
This segment is for you.
Obsession.
Whether it's musicals, mowers, Motown, Subarus, or Sondheim, It's time to share your obsession.
Obsession.
With the show, with Clayton McKee.
Pass. Duck?
Well, I don't know. This is a borderline of, I guess, an obsession, but something I just wanted to bring up. That today, since we're going through this arc of this, like you were saying, this horrible, just this last fucking 2 weeks have just been. I wonder if that's what's also wrong with me. Just everything's so fucking horrible and depressing. But okay. So 37 years ago today, as we've had this big the Senate confirmation, 37 years ago today, we confirmed a much different kind of Supreme Court justice, and that was Sandra Day O'Connor.
Hooray!
And she was honored today at the Sandra Day O'Connor Law School at Arizona State University, and they did a nice thing. Governor Ducey came and did a proclamation. But I'm just talking about her level of integrity, and I just thought about that. Wow, what a difference between her and where we are now.
Yeah,
over that span of time. I did not know. Learned a trivia fact. That I did not know this, and how did I miss this in the RBG movie, that Ruth Bader Ginsburg clerked for her. I did not know that.
Oh, cool. That's
clerked
cool.
For Sandra O'Connor. So. Anyway, not really an obsession, just, I don't know, just wanted to like throw that, like, wow, like, just look at what her life and what she accomplished versus, I can't even. might happen on Friday.
Renee's sister Anna was vetted at this thing, like Arizona women thing at the Phoenix Art Museum, mm-hmm. and it was Anna and Sandra Day O'Connor.
Wow.
Were the two speakers. And wow. I was like, what the fuck?
That is amazing.
Yeah. And it was a fascinating evening to hear both of them speak and then get the chance to like speak with the two of them, you know what I mean? To like be introduced.
Sure.
And bow out of pictures. I was like, oh, I was not ready to have my picture taken.
Well, you were in La Jolla.
So,
well, sure, he's dressed up pretty.
Mine will be on the, yeah, because now I would, now because of Justin and Kurt, I wear fucking suits. Mine is from Marnie. It was a podcast that she recommended, so I'll go with this one first because it kind of fits in what we're talking about. It's called Dirty John.
Okay.
You never actually find out what happened in his life to make him get that nickname. No one actually said what did that. But you're following the story of this serial liar, drug addict, nurse anesthetist, just a horrible human being.
Oh, no, is this that thing that you and Gina were talking about?
No, that's what we're going to talk about in entertainment. Oh. This is the one that Marnie, okay. same sorry. Company. No, but same company. I think it's called Wave One.
Wondery.
And if you listen to Dirty John, at the end of it, they recommend the one that will come up in
the doctor one.
The doctor one.
I don't want to get grossed out though, because Gina was saying it was so gross that
I don't. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, it's not gross. It's just it's a realistic disturbing. Depiction of bad medicine.
Oh, okay.
That's about as gross as it gets. You just okay. you're just.
I thought it was like serial killer gross.
No.
Because then I'm out.
But, and okay. He may or may not be a serial killer in that one. But oh, in no, this sorry. One, this no, no, no. In this, this Dirty John, this is just a horrible man, and he encounters a woman who comes forward to tell her story, at the detriment of her own personal character. Mm-hmm. She meets this man, she marries this man, she meets him online. She's an older, very successful woman. Marriage is behind her. There's a lot. It's a lot of moving pieces. It's a fascinating. I listened to it on the ride back from California. I listened to it all at once. 6 episodes. Riveting. But at one point, and I really think that this is my own take on this, and I'm sure I'll be shot down by anybody who listens to it. The villain of the piece to me is the grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
At one point, a family member is murdered by her husband, and she tells her mother, you know, he's possessive, he's controlling, I need to get out of this marriage. She's like surprised at it because all of their family functions are so much fun and it's so nice when the family gets together. He shoots her in the back of the head. He executes her, and the mother goes to the trial and testifies on his behalf that she loves him, okay, and that he could not have been in his own right mind.
Domestic violence.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
You should have led with that.
Dirty John.
Now I'm in.
I feel like I don't need to listen to that.
It's a fascinating thing, but the downside, and she just has one part in the one episode, but I really feel like, as part of this culture, a woman who, and like the prosecution says, she sold her daughter down the river.
Mm. Yeah.
But it just sets up how all of the women in that family are going to feel about themselves if you don't even stand up for your daughter who was trying to get out of a bad marriage. If your first instinct is to side with the husband.
Oh, it happens too.
Right, but mm-hmm. I'm just saying, but this is the recurring mm-hmm. theme that just keeps happening of...
But not anymore. We solved feminism. Yeah,
that's right.
We solved feminism. We
so
won.
Many victims are told,
just
go,
earlier
back,
in this show.
Go back to your
right,
husband.
Just earlier.
No,
be a better wife.
Because our family parties are so nice. And yeah. At one point...
You're going to ruin it for everybody
this,
with your
when
with
this
your
woman,
story.
Who's not, you know, she's the mother of the woman in the story, too. Mm-hmm. Because they keep saying, there's a dark side to this family that you need to hear. And they finally tell that story. And at one point, she's like, well, I told him I loved him, too. And I'm like, stop.
Oh,
I mean, it's
God.
Fucked up religion. Fucked up yeah. religion plays a huge part
and
in this.
Fucked up
and everybody thinking that just because all you got to do is say you're Christian, and they're all going to just suck you in. And it's like, mm-hmm. no. Like, this is, like, no. You don't know his religion because he went to your church? Oh, my God. The fucked upness of
this
the
is
rigors.
A podcast?
Yes. It's 6 episodes, Dirty John. Marnie recommended it a few weeks ago, and I finally got around to listening on the way home. And then I found the connection of the end of Dirty John is your introduction to Dr. Death.
Okay, so yes. I have a piece of news for you.
Yeah.
Here it comes. Because mm-hmm. I just was Googling it, because now I want to know about
yeah.
this thing. Eric Bana is the perfect Dirty John in first teaser of the podcast turned TV show.
Well,
did you know this?
It's every commercial on there. Is that
oh,
Bravo
okay.
is now producing this show. Because it's
bam, I'm going to try to hit you with something good.
Yeah, and Connie Britton plays plays Mary.
Love her.
But she's way too young. Like, there is no reason to cast an actress that young for a woman that's supposed to be 60. Like, I don't know. I just felt Connie Britton was way too young. I don't know how old Connie Britton is, but she's certainly not a 59-year-old woman. Like... But so anyways, it was one of those things where like there's this whole big picture, but you can never get past the fact that all these women were raised by this matriarch that taught that the first example they have of standing up to a man, and she went to the trial and testified against her dead daughter.
Connie wow. Britton is 51 years old.
Right, but not 59. Like, this is a story
true.
Of yeah. And young and vital. I don't know.
And pretty.
Whenever I hear somebody's playing some kind of a, I just get annoyed. But anyways, It's a terrific story.
The gatekeepers in The Handmaid's Tale were women.
Yeah, I know. They're shitty white women voted for Trump. So
they did.
They did.
But very, 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 very good podcast. Very good. And I'll tell you about another one that if you listen to Dirty John and you're not sure what to do
I'm
with that
gonna.
Last one.
I'm not gonna. I'm still mad at Margaret Atwood.
I think you'll like the ending of this one, though.
You think?
I think so. And then luckily,
to get stabbed
because
in the face.
Everything now... Not
been
to be too week. Literal, but
it has been.
Turns out watching The Walking Dead helps out.
Oh, that's nice.
In the end of this one. It's a girl power one at the end.
Thank
but
God.
Now they have these things, and next week will be the one for Dr. Death. They get together and do a social forum where they talk with professionals from counseling, people that have worked with abused partners, people that have been part of these scams. They talk with psychologists. So they have they get together in a theater and do a podcast live where they talk to the things like they did at the end of the second season of 13 Reasons Why, where they're like, okay, here's what we just watched. Here's what's right. Here's what's wrong.
Right.
But nobody brought up that fucking grandmother. And I'm like, oh, had I known about this bullshit. But really, it's a really strong lesson. And you don't know who amongst your older relatives or anybody mm-hmm. that's online dating mm-hmm. is going to like, come up against something that, like, go with your gut. If something mm-hmm. says...
If it feels fishy, get out.
And my new advice to everybody, whether you're going into business with them or whatever we were talking about earlier, get a credit check. Well, the people at work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you go around to some new job and your hopes are all staked on Bill Cosby being a nice guy, mm-hmm. credit check him, ask mm-hmm. around any rape stories. Anybody got any rape stories about this motherfucker?
That'd be a background check. Credit check for Bill Cosby probably came back good. Just a
you're
guess.
Not it did. His bills.
But... credit anything. Like, when you're going to marry somebody, credit check that motherfucker.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because if she would have credit checked him, she would have found out right then and there.
Got to vet these people.
Stuff is wrong.
The vetting.
But listen to it. Seriously, just help me out.
I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to be... I don't want to be angrier than I already am.
Can I tell you that girl?
No, yeah. The world doesn't want
to hear you.
How far back do you want to go in time?
Settle down.
Can I tell you that girl
first
power
grade.
Wins out, will you You're be happier? Next.
What's that?
If girl power wins out...
Well, like, no, and that's wonderful, and that happens a lot more than you think it does, but still. I don't need
but
to
But if you find out that we corrected
She's not
the
ready
evil
right
grandmother
now,
real quick.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
Call me tomorrow.
Yeah, but keep it in mind.
All right.
All right.
Fine, I'll subscribe.
I'm not obsessed with this typically because I don't watch these shows. I know they're all on, but I don't have time to watch all of the Voice and the singing and the Idols and all that shit.
I'm over it.
However,
all you need is So You Think You Can Dance. One of you.
However,
yeah, that's a good show.
When I do catch them here and there, I'm usually impressed because mm-hmm. they can all do shit I can't do. That the dancing part, huge time. I can't dance. I can't sing either. However, the Voice on NBC, I guess premiered, was it last night, was their opening for the deal, but they did a teaser that came out over the weekend. And it was just one of those things in the Facebook feed, and I clicked on it because I'm like, okay, I'll watch whatever this was. Okay, and I cry at everything these days. I swear to God.
Me too.
If a commercial with cat food comes on
Me
and the
too.
Cat is
Those
cute,
are the ones I cry on.
I cry at everything for some reason. So I clicked on it and watched the video. It was the 13-year-old contestant named Kennedy Holmes from St. Louis. She's a beautiful girl. And to hear her talk and to hear her voice, you would think she was 40 because mm-hmm. she's got such a warm, full voice.
Wow.
So she, you know, her tryout, she came out and she sang. And the one of her goals was Jennifer Hudson to turn around her chair, which she did.
Wow.
Which was great. And she was talking to the other, is it Blake? What's his name?
Blake Shelton.
And Adam Levine and Kelly Clarkson, yada, yada. Well, when Jennifer Hudson finally talks to her out of the four judges, the girl just starts to cry. And they're like, oh, what? And she says, the first song I ever performed in front of people was And I Am Telling You.
Right.
And Jay's like, oh, okay. And she goes, and she's literally crying on stage, and she says, I have one of the goals I've always wanted to sing with you. And Jennifer Hudson's like, well, I'm ready now.
And just, oh, my God.
An audio guy hands her a mic, and she goes on stage, and the girl does the lead and starts off with the... I am, and Jennifer Hudson's like, wow, like just wow. And so they harmonized and sang a verse
like
of the song.
No rehearsal, nothing. Wow, that's
it was so beautiful.
That's on live TV.
And I'm just crying.
Live TV?
It was recorded because the trailer came out earlier
but
in the
still,
week.
But still, to like do
but
it.
But it was a live, no rehearsal. She just walked on stage and did it, and it was. And then the teaser stops where she find out which judge she picks. Spoiler alert: it was J-Hud. But anywho, it's one of those things where the girl is realizing her dream,
right,
and she's her family is back there, and they showed them some footage of like their family together, and the father was there, and I guess forever the mother everywhere they go, she's like, Kennedy, sing a song, and the girl's like, put on, like she goes, I just been singing songs for my whole life, but it was just one of those things where the girl is realizing her dream, and Jennifer Hudson is there, and it's also funny when I realize how much time has passed, and I forget. Jennifer Hudson's not 21.
No, no, right. There's also that part.
She's been singing for quite a while now, and you forget that. I mean, clearly. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. How long ago did J-Hud was she? Was it Idol? Or what?
Yeah, she was a long time ago.
Fantasia season, so that's like season four, I think.
Okay, so that long ago. So this girl was not
like
even born
years
yet.
Ago.
Yeah, right.
So this girl came up. Right. Just Jennifer Hudson was already there. Like you know,
it was the third season.
Okay, the third season. So that's a long time ago.
Yeah,
2007.
Wow. Okay, so we're talking 11 years ago. But it was... Okay, she was two. The girl would have been two then.
No,
but
the third season was like 2003.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I scanned wrong. You're right. She was the highest recorded vote total in the show's history until 2007. Never mind.
Okay.
Season three, though.
Yeah.
Which was what year?
Who was the highest recorded?
She had
2004.
The week before she got voted off, she did Circle of Life because I followed her because they said she was too fat to be on there, and that's when I started to hate Simon Cowell. She the week before did Circle of Life or something from The Lion King and had the highest vote total
ever
on Idol.
Clean pajamas,
and the next,
penguins on the bottom.
Yeah, clean pajamas, penguins on the bottom. Then the next week they had Barry Manilow, and she did my favorite Barry Manilow song, Weekend in New England, and she. Changed it up, made it an R&B song, sold the shit out of it, and all three of the R&B singers, Fantasia, her, and Gladys Knight's niece, were the bottom three.
Oh.
So the three best singers of the night ended up in the bottom three, and one of them had to go, and it was Jennifer Hudson.
Okay.
And it was one of those ones where the judges were like, do we have one of those things where we can stop this madness?
Yes. Right.
But America just voted wrong. But it was just weird.
That's never happened.
It happens.
Yes. Never
happened.
That's
never happened before.
Highest vote total the week before ever, and it stayed for like 4 or 5 more years. That record lasted, and the next week she was on the bottom because everyone didn't vote for them. That vote for the worst people were kind of evil too. That they were a fun website, but they were trying to ruin Idol. So there was a vote for the worst, where you just voted for the worst singer. So there was that Sanjaya guy with he got farther than he should.
But if you've not seen it,
I may have participated in the vote for the worst.
Can I get it on YouTube?
If you didn't, absolutely go to YouTube or Facebook page for America or for The Voice. Look for Kennedy Holmes is her name. She's a beautiful young lady. The Voice was amazing. In fact, when she sang, Blake Shelton leans over to J-Head. She goes, "She wins right now. She wins the whole year. Like this is it." Yeah. And then J-Head got her on her team. But anyway, beautiful.
You know what I love about that?
I want to be all Weezer with you. If it's any good, it's going to be on Facebook tomorrow.
You know what I love about that, too?
It's because I can nap at home for free.
If it's any good, they're going to make a mini-series out of it.
I love when stars don't do a diva move and just do something cool like that and help. You know, do something in
front of you
like that.
Well, Kelly Clarkson jumped up out of her chair and just started running around. She's like, you're 13. You're 13. And the year previous when Kelly had won, she won with the youngest person that had ever been on The Voice.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this makes this girl younger than
or not. Helps when they're just genuine. Like, those are genuinely nice people. Like, Kelly Clarkson. There's no minute when you don't see Goldie Hawn or Sally Field or Kelly Clarkson on TV and just be like, and I'm sure if Reba had lived, she was probably one of the nicest people.
That man seems awfully nice, though.
that gentleman is delightful.
You're just...
I keep sharing that theory with people that we know, and they love it.
They love it. You'll never find anybody that's like...
They're like, maybe. I'm like, look it up.
hang on, I'm queuing up an
edge of my seat
audio thing right quick. I hope we don't get dinged for this. We'll see. This is this girl she's talking to.
Okay, so one of my first performances, I sang I Am Changing.
Oh,
and I've dreamed to sing with you.
I'm ready.
And she just does.
Well, show us the video.
Well, I can't do that because we'll certainly get dinged. But I want you to hear how this song starts. Like when they're on stage again. You have to watch the video. But and listen, it just starts and this girl just... Beautiful. And then Jennifer joins in a second.
I am changing.
Yes!
I'll be better than I am.
That's just beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying.
Yeah, 13 years old, and she's like, her voice, she's already got experience in that soul of hers.
So we're drinking. So Jennifer Holliday, auditions for the Dream Girls.
Yeah.
My favorite story in all of Broadway history.
Tale as old as time.
Mine too. Fat girl, 19 years old. She auditions for them. They're like, that's the best anyone's ever sang. And I'm telling you, I'm not going. But thank you. Good night. We're going to find somebody else.
Right.
They keep auditioning and auditioning and auditioning people. And they're like, but what about the fat girl? Can we get the fat girl back? So they bring Jennifer Holliday back, and they're like, well, let's try that again. So she sings the shit out of again, and they're like, no, we just don't, like, there's just no...
We just
there's
don't just, see it.
There's nowhere for someone as big as you to be in the show. We're going to ask you to leave. So then they audition all these people, every human in the New York tri-state area, they audition.
Wow.
They bring back Jennifer Holliday. And she's like, they're like, we're going to offer you the part. She's like, I don't die in the first act. So I'm going to go. So they audition like hundreds of more people. And they come back to Jennifer Holliday. And they're like, so how important is it for you to show up in the second act? Like, we're supposed to kill you off because Flo Ballard died. In real life, Flo Ballard dead.
Right.
There's a dead Supreme. So she's like, nope. I'm going to be in the second act. You're gonna find a way to redeem my character. It's like, I'm not a supporting actress. I don't do oohs and ahs. Like, she was just quoting them the script back. And they're like, yeah, we're good. So then she comes back a second time, and she's like, did you write me another song yet? Do I get a song in the second act? They're like, okay. So they wrote, I am changing for her big comeback, and Effie comes back. And
you're
like,
love
I'm
me.
Not just a pain in the ass. I was right. I can sing. He's a dick.
Right.
This is a total asshole guy part that you're not going to redeem and have him marry the lead. So then she agrees to it. She's like, yeah, I'm going to need the disco act in the end, too. So we're going to need one more song. So she trailed them along, and she won lead. She didn't win supporting actress in a musical or featured actress. She won best lead actress. Uh-huh. That is the biggest part in a musical that's supposed to die at the end of the first act. That bitch could sing, and she just kept telling them,
no.
For, I gave you one chance
she
when
knew
I was
her
fat.
Worth.
Yeah. I gave you one chance when I was fat for you to reject me, and you blew it. So guess what?
Yeah. Now
I'm going to be in the second act.
She told you she wasn't going.
And when they made the movie, they kept it in.
Speaking of second act, this is our lead into our second hour. It's the headline hour, and these are headlines we're going to be talking about in the B block. Philadelphia is getting gritty.
Buildings. I forgot. I lost my stories. Go.
Addresses in Missouri.
Everybody's changing their names.
Batman denied entry to a home.
I'm in search of a Halloween costume.
Bananas in prison, and that isn't the big surprise.
Leading ears.
Six Flags Over St. Louis offers a coffin challenge, and Florida gardening at its very best. These and other topics that we're going to come up with in the next hour, so you're going to want to be here for it. I'm pretty much sure about that. In the meantime, take a bathroom break, get a beverage, and stick with us. It's Q Talk America.
I'm here because I burned some bridges at Wendy's.
You're listening to Q Talk America.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.